Well, if you come to North Carolina and go sailing with me sometime, you can see the wild ponies on the
Are
islands.
you serious?
It's so
See, now
awesome.
that
Yeah.
sounds so much more fun than going on some day where there's crowds. Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Today, my delightful co-host, Amy Carroll, and I are talking about how we've been applying what we learned from Lucille Zimmerman, author of Renewed, about play, grieving, and forgiveness. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I've been doing some playing. I think that's why maybe I'm doing so well.
So tell me about it. What have you been doing?
So I know playing is all relative, and I started even second guessing whether my decorating bent is playing at all. And then I thought, well, I'm allowed to define it, right? So I am redecorating. Now it's bittersweet because I'm redecorating my boys' rooms. I know, but they took all the furniture. I had to do something.
So you have an empty room. Okay,
yes.
So hang on a second. I'm guessing this is kind of like a little combination of grieving and playing, because as
it
you're
is.
dealing
Oh,
with
you're
that
right.
room.
You're right. Like, I'm so having so much fun shopping my house, cleaning out my attic, and finding all the stuff I haven't been using, because I'm trying to do it on a shoestring. Frequenting thrift stores. This is another thing I'm not sure I've talked about on the podcast, but I'm a
How
huge
fun.
Thrifting fan. So anyway, it is fun to me. It's play. So I love it.
What I love is how you started out a little worried whether it counted as play or not. Like, you know, there is some rule in the world that defines play for all of us. And, you know, does Amy Carroll get to decorate or not and consider that play? Is that found in the rule book? So
exactly.
Good
is
for
it
you.
Perfect play? Thank goodness for Jennifer, who talked us out of thinking that there's only one way to be happy.
Exactly.
See, we're learning from all these people.
Oh, it's so true. Well, you know what I did last week that I'd been actually avoiding? And it's one of my favorite things to do in the whole wide world. I went horseback riding for the first time in a while.
Oh.
And I've always been a horse crazy girl. I don't know if I've ever told you, but I collected 300 model horses when I was a kid. Oh, yeah. I had them all on glass shelves and everything. And so, I've read all the horse books. I took horseback riding lessons when I was little. I think of horses and I start tearing up in the happy kind of tears. So, but I hadn't been riding for a while because the last time I went riding, nothing went horribly wrong, but I got scared. I'll just leave it at that.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed scared for like 20 minutes. And that's a lot. That's a lot of anxious memory. And so I was just avoiding and avoiding. I have a friend who invites me to go with her. And I kept having legitimate reasons to not go, like I was out of town or I was sick or whatever. And she asked me last week and I had no legitimate reason. And I started looking for reasons to not go. And I was like, oh, hang on a second. This is my favorite way to play and I'm avoiding it, you know? So.
Oh, yeah.
I think for those of us who are reforming perfectionists, for something that should come as naturally as play, and like you pointed out, when we were kids, we knew how to play, we can find every excuse in the book. We can find so many ways that it becomes hard or scary or unnatural. And the good news is, I went, I had a great time. I mean, I live on a beach. I went horseback riding on the beach.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was gorgeous. And we went for a trot and I didn't. My favorite part was not falling off, you know.
Yeah.
At my age, that's considered lots of fun, not falling off. So that was my success story for play last week. I overcame some fear so that I could just relax and have some fun with something that's always been fun for me.
That's terrific. Oh, I think, did you read Misty of Chincoteague?
Yes. Oh, my word. I owned all of Margaret Henry's books. Oh, and the whole Black Stallion series. Actually, I
of
wanted to
course.
Go to Chincoteague. It was on my bucket list to go to Pony Penning Day someday. Because
oh,
I wanted to see the horses, you know, swim the channel and to see the auction. And I went online and I did some research and I'm like, oh, wow, you have to plan 2 to 3 years in advance because everything books up. And so we put it on our list for, it may have actually been next summer. And then I did a little bit more reading and I discovered that it's a total tourist trap and there's crowds and you really don't
Ew.
Get to see anything. And I was so disappointed. And then I realized, But this is what being an adult means. You find out the truth about these fantasies you had as a kid. And it's like, okay, so I'm just going to watch a video on YouTube and that will suffice. You talked about when you were a mom of young kids and you had a friend that you were actually jealous of because she was so good at playing with her kids and you felt like you were so bad. If you could go back to your younger self as a mom, what would you tell her about play?
Oh, I mean, some of it's just time, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it's how do we allocate our time? And we allocate our time to what we think is important. I allocated my time to a lot of cleaning. I would tell my younger self, put down the mop for heaven's sakes and get down on the floor. That's what I would say.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. How can you get down on a dirty floor? Come on, really?
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance. I've had so many people after reading my book say, oh, so you mean we should embrace our imperfections, you know, just not make the bed anymore. No, there's a balance in there somewhere. Things have to get done. But play is important, and I don't think I saw it as important. So, thankfully, my children do have happy memories. I asked my son, we rode through our hometown the other day, and we hadn't been back in a long time. He was in the car with me, so I asked him, so what are some of your good memories of being here? He talked about how we used to take walks down to a little fountain that had goldfish in it, feed the goldfish, aww, and then walk back home and stop by this old-fashioned drugstore where we got orangeades. I hadn't thought about that in ages, but that just, it popped right out of his mouth. So I wasn't a total failure. I did play some, but not as much as I had wished that I did.
I think the point that you made that you didn't recognize it as valuable is so important, and recognizing it is. The other night, and this is going to be a marriage illustration, my husband has a habit of rhyming. And I'm a punster, so rhyming drives me crazy. And the later at night it gets, the more crabby I get and the more likely I am to snap at him for his rhyming. So the other night it was getting late and we were both tired and I could just feel that he was about to start rhyming. And I could just feel the premeditated resentment building in me. Like I was just waiting to pounce on him. And I'm like, what on earth is this? You know, I'm like planning to be crabby before anything's even happened. I'm like, what if I go ahead and start rhyming? So I just let off a string of rhymes. Well, he was so excited. He just thought that was the best thing in the world. And we had this whole on rhyming duel for like 5 minutes and it turned into a pillow fight and we just giggled and our son, he actually stuck his head out of his door. He's like, would you two calm down in there? And it was like, and I realized it's a choice. I have the choice to go down my typical groove of being grouchy because this thing annoys me, or I can just play. I can say, let's have some silly fun and be dumb and get a ton of laughs out of it. And what I did was I chose to value the play.
Well, what I'm thinking of is you're talking about playing with your husband. I'm talking about playing with my kids. I just had a week in California where I got to play with my best friend and we went and did some touring and things together. It was so much fun. And we laughed. Seriously, okay, I have to confess. I laughed so hard, I really thought I might not make it to the potty.
Now that's some good laughter right there.
It was bad. It was bad. I'm getting too old for that. So anyway, true confessions, more than anybody wanted to know. But play is bonding, is what you were talking about with your husband. That is a moment he is going to remember.
Unfortunately,
I had moments with my kids, thank goodness, that they remember. And I'll always remember laughing behind the building in Lake Tahoe until I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to run fast enough. So, you know, these are bonding moments, and they're so human. I think that was when we talked to Lucille, what really struck me as we were talking about these really deep human needs with play, grieving, and forgiveness. Mm. It was awesome. One of the things that you brought up in the interview with Lucille was how grief came in some unexpected ways, and you brought up jealousy. Mm-hmm. That was interesting to me. How has the grief changed and transformed over the year that your mom's been gone?
Boy, that's a great question. probably the best way I can describe it is as a softening. It was just so sharp, and I just felt so, I felt like the main character in Frozen for the first few months. Like, anything I did, shards of ice were coming out of me that could hurt others and even that could hurt me. I just felt harsh. I was so angry. And I felt it kind of softening, almost like it's been just slowly melting. And I think the most important thing that the finality of her death did is it made me realize that anything I ever wanted from her, I can't have from her. I tried to get everything, all those emotional and nurture needs, out of one fallible human woman. And she could only give what she could give. And so I've been much more proactive and also more receptive about seeking it from other people, hopefully in appropriate ways. And I've also noticed that the grief is transforming into a gratitude for what I do have. Instead of looking at some of the pieces of her clothing that I kept and wincing, or, you know, quickly shoving them in the back of the closet, I'm more likely to pull them out and either try them on, or I've had some of them altered now so I can start wearing them. Nice. And it feels good. I mean, just like I'm putting her on. I spent my entire life trying so hard not to be her, trying not to be like her. But of course, I turned into her in my own way, because
we do.
We do. Yeah, we just do. And I am much more welcoming of her in me now, and much more aware of, oh, that came from Mother. She gave me for my wedding, one of the wedding gifts was a set of laminated recipe cards. And she'd typed them on a real typewriter on 4x6 cards and then laminated them so that if you spilled anything, you could clean it off. And, you know, I used to resent the lamination, like, see, she couldn't handle imperfection. And now I'm like, yeah, but they've lasted almost 30 years and they're in great shape. Laminating That's them great. For durability was valuable. So I'm really choosing to incorporate her and just celebrating the little glimpses I see in my everyday life in unexpected ways. So I'm not saying it's all easy, but the gratitude is probably now the most surprising and welcome part.
That is so beautiful. And it's beautiful to me to hear, because I haven't lost my mother and I dread that day. Mm-hmm. But I hear such a redemption in the grieving of your whole story with your mom. That's really beautiful, Sherry.
So when we were talking to Lucille, this whole idea that we all have a mixture of good and bad in us really seemed to appeal to you. Elaborate a little bit on why that really struck a chord with you.
That really has helped me in processing some hard things that came my way. One of them this year was I got this nasty gram from a woman in response to a blog post.
How rude.
I know. It was so unexpected. And it was so, so unfair, I have to tell you, that it was funny, because my normal response is just to be cut to the heart on things like that. I'm a perfectionist and I want everybody to like me, for heaven's sake. So it was tough to get. Usually those kinds of things are hard for me. But this time I actually laughed out loud, which is so not typical. I started thinking about, how could I have that response that's so different? But I think this year that I have had to come face to face, we're really the last couple of years, face to face with some of the bad, ugly, dark parts of myself. And I may have never written a nasty gram like that to somebody, or at least that I want to talk about. I may have never written that nasty gram, but goodness knows I've thought those thoughts. And in that moment, I really felt this sense of forgiveness and grace towards her, even though she was trying to hurt me. I was like, wow, I've been that person, at least in my head. It's very helpful when we start thinking about, we're not just one or the other. We're not either all good or all bad. We're all a mix of both. We're sinners at our core. Scripture tells us that. And anything good comes from Jesus in us. And so, and God's image in us. And so, you know, just realizing that I can forgive someone else because I'm capable of that same thing.
Wow. So I see an awful lot of empathy there, that when we're in the midst of perfectionism, we really don't have empathy, because it's my way or the highway. It's, you know, I'm all right and you're all wrong. And that mixture and recognition of yourself, that you're capable of the thing the other person is doing. Wow, how deflating to perfectionism. And to be able to laugh at it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a big step for me. Really, really big. And it, last year I was asked to write a blog post about betrayal. And I had the same, it was tough. And I had the same realization of, I think I'm more able to give grace now because I'm less invested in proving my own perfection. And more aware of my need for grace. And so it does give me a greater empathy for other people. We're all in the struggle together.
We would love to hear from you. We're planning a special holiday series, and we want to make sure that it meets your needs. If you'd head on over to the website for today's episode, you'll find a link to a short survey and full details about this week's giveaway. You'll find the webpage at sherrygregory.com. That's sherrygregory.com. We hope you've enjoyed episode number 17 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Tune in next week as Amy and I start our brand new series, Holiday Break, How to Break Bad Rules and Rock Holiday Delight. For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, go right on ahead and break it.